The Sunday Show with EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum, an interactive journey that shows how a small island made a big impact on the world. EPICCHQ.com.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome to The Sunday Show, coming to you this evening from Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm delighted to be joined this evening by John Gerkey here at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. And John, you are the Director of Guest Experience.
That's right.
And first of all, let me say, I've had a few hours wandering around this incredible place. Bucket list stuff for me, John. And I just want to leave.
So you had a good experience.
Yeah.
That's good.
I did. And you know, I'm meeting you afterwards. So I don't know, you arranged it secretly.
That was perfect.
But,
yeah.
I mean, it's really, Cleveland, I suppose, has been associated with music, rock and roll, like for a long time. I mean, it is synonymous with it. I mean, the name was invented by some Cleveland guy, right?
That's right. You know, so the story of why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland, it goes back to the legendary disc jockey, Alan Freed. And he was broadcasting on the airwaves right here in Cleveland, Ohio, back in early 1950s. And he was the first disc jockey to really use that phrase, rock and roll, to describe the music that he was playing on the airwaves.
What really hits you when you go around, the feel-good factor here is actually incredible. John, for me, like Elvis,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the influence of black culture and music on his music.
That's right.
And I mean, the way that you present, just all the different musicians, it's just such like warm, fuzzy feeling.
I think that warm, fuzzy feeling that you're tapping into is so many of our visitors feel that way because music is really meaningful. There, you know, music brings meaning to people. You have your own soundtrack to your life. I have mine. You're listening. Listeners have theirs, but all of us, you know, certain songs, certain artists, certain albums transport us back to moments of joy, moments of sorrow, of triumph and perseverance, and or even just like a fun road trip you took with your friends in college. And that's what the rock and roll, that's for us. We are telling the story of the history of rock and roll, but we also want to make sure we are a place for our visitors to reconnect and remember, you know, those memories, those stories, those experiences. So a lot of our visitors tell us that they get goosebumps, they get teary-eyed, they get emotional because music is that powerful.
In a nutshell, that's exactly sort of how I was feeling today. Now, I mean, just give people an idea. There are 6 floors here. Rock and roll, when did it start, John? That goes back to the 50s?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there really is no birth date of rock and roll. Fats Domino's, The Fat Man comes out in 1949. You have, you know, Big Joe Turner, Elvis Presley, Little Richard, Ruth Brown, Jerry Lee Lewis. You know, this is all like early to mid 1950s, but the 50s is really the explosion of rock and roll music. It's in that sort of post-World War II baby boomer generation. And I'll tell you what, like most young people, teenagers in the 50s were looking for music that was different from what their parents listened to. It was not Perry Como. It was not Patti Page. They wanted something that felt a little more raw, a little more dangerous, a little more suggestive. So when you have, you know, Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis and Sam Cooke and, you know, Buddy Holly, that was it. Elvis Presley, that was the perfect antidote. The Rock Hall, we opened up back in 1995. So, you know, rock and roll was about 3 decades young at that point, but it was old enough where, you know, our founders realized we need a museum to celebrate, to preserve, to celebrate, to teach about the history of rock and roll music. So we opened our doors Labor Day weekend, 1995, and we've welcomed 13, 14 million visitors since then.
You told me earlier, when I was talking about ABBA, right? I just said, like, ABBA are an inductee here.
That's right.
What is the, I mean, I see the list now of votes for like 2023. How does it all work, John?
Sure.
How do you become inducted?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's probably the most popular question we get. The process of eligibility is rather simple. Artists become eligible 25 years after the release of their first record. So 25 years later, after your debut record, you are different, you are now eligible for consideration, for nomination. And then what happens is every year we have a nominating committee. It's about 35, 40 people. It's folks who are very involved in the record industry, the music business, record label executives, songwriters, producers, artists, scholars, journalists. They get together and it's their job to take all the eligible artists who are out there and whittle that list down to a ballot. That ballot is usually anywhere from 15 to 20 artists, and that ballot gets sent out to over 2,000 voters, including all of our living inductees, which I think is very cool. It means that, you know, Diana Ross of the Supremes, she gets a vote, and, you know, Van Morrison gets a vote, and the guys in U2 get to vote, and Joan Jett and Madonna, they all get to vote. Paul McCartney, you know, you name it. If you are inducted, you get a vote. And then every year, the top 5 to 7 vote getters are, you know, the new class of inductees.
Oh, amazing. Now, I saw Duran Duran there last year.
Yeah.
You know, amazing music. Like, you know, when you're wandering around and you can hear like Harry Belafonte.
Yeah, a legend.
Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just completely immersed in the whole thing, aren't you?
Yeah. And for us, even those artists you mentioned, from Duran Duran to Chuck Berry to Harry Belafonte, earlier, you know, you mentioned ABBA. For us, that is rock and roll. Rock and roll, you know, here at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we define rock and roll music more as a spirit and an attitude more than a sound. And that makes sense, because if you think about the history of rock and roll music, it's never sounded one way. Pink Floyd sounds very different from, you know, the Temptations, who sound very different from Richie Valens, who sounds very different from the Supremes, right? But it's all rock and roll music. So for us, it's why we induct dance music and electronica and hip hop and progressive rock and heavy metal and Motown, and, you know, all that falls under the umbrella of rock and roll music.
Jimi Hendrix, of course.
Of course.
The experience.
Yeah.
It's so brilliant. But I love the way that you've done it all and the way that you've created the stories here.
Yeah, it's, you know, storytelling is so important. Actually, one of our key core values is recognizing that we, as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all the artists we celebrate, we are all storytellers. It's what so many people and fans of rock and roll music, it's what they resonate with, is the storytelling aspect. And it's why when you walk through and you hear the music, or you see the original handwritten lyrics of a certain song, and you see how that creative process unfolded, those are the kinds of stories that we not only tell. You know, we tell those stories in our exhibits, but we also tell them in our educational programs. We have, you know, over the last 20 some odd years, we've had over 500,000 students come visit us here at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Another million of students across the world have utilized our free educational resources on rockhall.com. So we use rock and roll to teach about history, about math, about finance, about science. Rock and roll is a great gateway to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the piece there, the Baptist are the preachers that were giving out about rock and roll, you know, when Elvis was gyrating around the place and saying, you know, oh my God, ban this and smash the records, you know. I mean, the way that's presented, it really brings you back. It is the history of America at the time.
But when it's especially that reaction is so cyclical. So in the 1950s, when rock and roll was brand new, the kids loved it. The older generation didn't get it and were concerned about it, right? They were worried about juvenile delinquency. But then in the 60s, you have the Beatles with their long hair. You know, in hindsight, it wasn't that long. But the older generation thought, you know, the Beatles and all, you know, or, you know, Jimi Hendrix or Janis Joplin, it was, you know, rock and roll is the devil's music, whatever. And then in the 70s, you have punk rock and hip hop music. You know, hip hop music had a lot of those same, it was adored by young people, still is to this day, but an older generation didn't quite get it. And that's what rock and roll is. Rock and roll has always connected to youth culture.
Yeah, I mean, the hip hop experience here as well, I mean, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even if you were a fan of just the Beatles alone, right? Or if you were a fan of just, you know, one or two, it is incredible. You could spend hours there.
Our goal is hopefully that every visitor when they visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they connect with a memory, with an emotion, with a song that they remember, but that they also learn something new. And if we can do both of those things, I think we're really accomplishing our goal, because there's so much out there. I've been at the Rock Hall for 18 years, and I am still learning stuff every single day. That brings joy to my life, that I keep learning, and I'm always trying to discover new connections, new stories, new people, part of the story, and that's what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does too.
How many people have been through the doors, John, you know, off the top of your head?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, over the course since 1995, I think we're pushing 13 or 14 million visitors. Wow. Who just come through the door. And obviously, many more people interact with the Rock Hall online, on social media. They follow the induction ceremony process. They watch the induction ceremonies. So, we have fans, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame audience is truly worldwide. It's a global, it's one of the big responsibilities that we have is across the world. If you ask people about Cleveland, Ohio, a lot of people know that's where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is. So, and we're the only Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the entire world. We have a lot of fun doing what we do, but we take it very seriously. And I think it's a good balance of making sure we're getting the story right while also celebrating this unbelievable art form.
Anybody who comes here, I mean, they, you know, I will be back to, because, you know, you can spend days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, as I said, the fun. I mean, as a guy who works in radio, I just, this place is just like heaven. You know, it's like you're in happy heaven here. It's amazing.
Like I said, I've been here 18 years and I feel the same way. I mean, every day I walk into this building and I almost pinch myself that, like, I am surrounded by the greatest of the greats and all these stories that we tell.
And there was lots of guys upstairs killing songs as well, yeah. Right? I mean, like, yeah, you could come and make your own music.
That's right. So what
jamming.
So what you're referring to, it's the entire second floor of our museum. You mentioned earlier, our museum is seven floors tall. It's a big giant pyramid here on the shores of Lake Erie. But the entire second floor, it's called the garage. And that's the one area where you know, as a visitor, can actually pick up an instrument. And you can learn to play guitar. You can learn to play the bass, play piano, play the drums. And if you do play already, you can jam with our house band. So that was what you were seeing today. And I'll tell you what, magic happens in that space every single day. First of all, we have an incredible staff across the museum, our staff making sure our visitors have a great experience. They are incredible. And they are as passionate about music as our visitors are. But that garage experience, that is so, because people's rock and roll dreams come true.
You know, I was playing a guitar up there in the corner.
That's awesome. That's great. I'm glad you had a good time. It's
John, I wanted to ask you, what is the, just for people when they come here, like, how much does it cost to come in? What's the ticket?
Yeah. So tickets start at $35. And, you know, there's a variety of discounts for, you know, active and retired military, for, you know, first responders. So this is, you know, doctors and nurses and people who work, you know, anyone who's a first responder. We have student discounts for college students. If you live in Cleveland, Ohio, you get in free. That's not going to be helpful for your audience.
It'd be
a good deal. But $35 is the base price. We also have we have great people who love the Rock Hall end up joining as a member.
Yeah, I actually have the form here.
It's a great deal. You visit twice and you've more than paid off the cost. But more than even that, we see a lot of members, you know, across the world who just want to be a part of what we are doing here. You know, we are a non-for-profit museum, and so all that contribution that helps us do what we do, put on those great exhibits, put on the great programs, teach the students about the importance of rock and roll music.
John Gerkey, it has been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
After the break, I'll be joined by Sam McNulty, Chief Beer Taster at Market Garden Brewery.
This Sunday show with Epic, the Irish Emigration Museum, an interactive journey that shows how a small island made a big impact on the world. EpicCHQ.com.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And now I'm delighted to be joined by Sam McNulty. Sam, you describe yourself as Chief brewery taster at Master Brewery. Is that correct?
Chief beer taster at Market Garden Brewery here in Cleveland, Ohio. Yes.
And of course, we are coming to you from Cleveland, Ohio, which is incredibly exciting. I had a fantastic tour around this area here today where you're based, Sam. I mean, amazing food scene and like urban chic. There's a farm here. There's amazing ice cream parlors. There's, you know, craft breweries. But it's, I mean, I've just sampled some of your amazing beer there. Progress Cider is amazing. I really didn't know that Cleveland had so many exciting things here. And the food scene and the beer scene, I'm very impressed.
Cleveland is a hidden gem, and the world hasn't quite discovered us yet. And there's a part of me that loves that and wants to keep it that way. And there's another part that wants to stand on a rooftop and shout out the good news. But I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're enjoying. So we're in the Ohio City neighborhood right now, and we're at Market Garden Brewery, like so named because we have a big beer garden with a huge wood-burning fireplace, and we're located right next door to our historic West Side Market. That is a must-see when you're in town. You've got to go to the West Side Market.
Yeah, and I loved that today. It actually really reminded me of Grand Market Hall in Budapest. I mean, actually, the architecture, very similar, but amazing because it's actually, I mean, it's a working market where people can go and actually you buy all your lovely fresh meats and chicken, but then it has an amazing variety of cakes and pastries, herbs, like all sorts of stuff. It's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, there's a lot of markets all around the country, and very often they've gone full tourist, whereas this is, like you said, this is very much the city of Cleveland's grocery store, and where individual vendors, you can buy like the raw ingredients for your meal or prepared meals and everything in between. So it's lovely, and it's a huge asset.
Now, where did you first find your passion or your love for brewing beer?
So this might not make it to the show, but I was a wee lad of 14 years old. My parents were teetotalers, and the only way I could get my hands on beer was by telling them I wanted to work on a science project that involved fermentation. So I bought a fermentation kit, and in our basement with my older brother, we practiced the art and science of fermenting malted barley.
Oh, very impressive.
Hops. Cleveland happens to sit on the Lake Erie, the Great Lakes, the world's largest source of fresh water. So we have great water and all the other ingredients. My parents never did ask what I did with the beer that we fermented, but I learned a lot about the science of fermentation.
Wonderful. So, I mean, that's genuinely really impressive. So you actually decided there was an opening there and you were going to make it yourself.
Yeah, in desperate times, desperate measures.
Amazing. You have a great Irish connection as well. You were telling me earlier, that's very interesting. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so my grandparents came over from County Down. They actually met here in Cleveland at an Irish dance, married, had a bunch of kids, as the Irish are wont to do. And my wife, her family, her parents and her brother emigrated here from Ireland as well. So we have a lot of reasons to go back, and we're very excited about this direct Aer Lingus flight. And we just took it for a cousin's wedding a month and a half ago and loved having a direct flight straight from Cleveland to Dublin.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I said my first time here, and it is always, it's amazing. It just opens up so many possibilities. That direct flight is fantastic.
Indeed.
And Cleveland, I suppose, for me, I got very excited about it when I heard about the direct flight. And I knew about the orchestra because, you know, I like a little bit of opera, you know, but nice. I'd heard a lot of things about the Cleveland Orchestra, and I knew that there was a lot of financial history here as well. But it is, I mean, you know, if you take a big city like New York or big cities, I like places that aren't so crazy. And
I'm
Cleveland is so relaxing. The people are so friendly here. As I said, I've had amazing food, beers I'm having now, which are just like mind-blowing. There's a big Irish connection here as well, isn't there? Going back, I mean, you were saying from Mayo.
Yeah, County Mayo is where I would say 99% of Cleveland Irish hail from. Some from Cork, such as yourself. County Down would be rare. The rare times we bump into someone from County Down, it's always like, whoa.
Yep. Well, you know, I did, you know, my grandfather was born in Hollywood, County Down. Yes, so yeah, yes. We could be related.
Yes, somewhere way back, who knows?
Yeah, great place. When people come over now on this new direct flight, what would you say, I mean, you being a local here, an expert in terms of this whole area here, what would you say like your top sort of tips would be, or, you know, what would you say your top 10, or what, you know, what would you recommend people to do that wouldn't really know Cleveland?
Yeah, so come to Cleveland. I would say the first thing you do is find a local bar or brew pub and ask the barman or woman, say, what would you recommend? I think that's always, in my experience, the best way to understand what you need to see. The three neighborhoods on the Near West Side, Ohio City, Tremont, and Detroit Shoreway, It's just like the triumvirate of really interesting, walkable neighborhoods that have a lot of fun things to do and explore. It's definitely a great launching point for exploring the city of Cleveland.
Yeah, of course, when you look it up, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, of course, which is very, you know, one of the top attractions here, the only one in the world, as I discovered. Yeah. I had to be pried out with a crowbar yesterday. I did not want to leave that place because, you know, when you work in radio music, I mean, it was that feel-good factor there. I mean, Elvis was alive. It just brought the whole thing into another level. I didn't even know ABBA was inducted into the Hall of Fame. You know, it was all these revelations to me. But it was such a happy place. And I just loved my time there. I think everyone should go and just see
next that. Time you should get an overnight pass.
Yeah, I know, like the night at the museum. Yeah, I think they're signing me up as a member because you can sign up. I think.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it was really wonderful. And of course, the eclipse. We've talked about it now earlier as well. Phenomenal.
We actually have a beer called The Totality that we're pouring right now. It's tasting really good.
Yeah, and so do you have a blackout after that as well? Or
you have to have about 10 before we can call it a blackout.
Yeah, yeah.
At about 6, you get a brownout.
Yeah, but it was, but it's fast. And I mean, it is. Yeah, you are in, I mean, that wonderful phrase, the path of totality.
Yes.
And I mean, it is going to be amazing. And I think that is something exciting for people as well. The other thing I heard a lot of people talking about here, and even people I met on the street, Christmas is meant to be fabulous here as well. You do a really good Christmas, apparently.
We do indeed. It's a big holiday. We get a lot of parts of the world have the, like if you go to Florida, for example, you'll see like Christmas trees and Christmas lights, but there's no snow. There's no like, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Cleveland does Christmas all the way, exactly the way you picture it in the storybooks and movies. There's snow on the ground. There's twinkling lights everywhere. From the day after Thanksgiving until January 1st, it is nonstop parties.
Brilliant. Yeah, I like the sound of that. Just to ask a little bit about your empire here. You have how many breweries, bars? You have a lot of interesting ones going on.
So we have 5 and soon to be 6 restaurant, bar, brew pubs. So 2 of the restaurants actually brew beer on site. So hence brew pub. We're sitting in 1 Market Garden brew pub. Down the block, we have Nano Brew, which is scaled down brew house where we do a lot of experimental small batch beers. And then we have 2 dance clubs. One will be opening in about 13 days for the Forbes 30 Under 30. We're doing this. They're calling it a legendary bar crawl, and we're going to try to live up to it. So Forbes magazine is coming to town for this 30 Under 30 event, like a 5-day big just party and celebration. And one of the nights, they're bussing everybody over. They're expecting 4,000 attendees. So we're anticipating 4,000 people descending on Ohio City, and they'll have a passport where they go to each one of our bars and restaurants for a different experience. We'll have different bands and DJs at each location.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so we're super excited about that. But yeah, across the street, we have Brightside, which is a American comfort food restaurant with a lot of local and natural ingredients. Below that, we have Bird of Paradise. It's a dance club with hip-hop DJs, and then karaoke on Thursdays. We're here at Market Garden Brew Pub, of course, which is a full restaurant, and you can actually see some of the tanks through the glass over there in the cooler where we store the beer before it's poured from the taps. And then Nano Brew is our small batch brew pub. Clandestina, we opened about 3 months ago. It's a mezcal and tequila bar, so a mezcalia, if you will, that has a fun Mexican street food concept. And then below that, we're actually building out, even as we speak, EDM dance club called Smoke and Mirrors. So that's going to be the final piece, and then we're done.
That's brilliant. That is so exciting because there's so much for people, that the variety there, even when you spoke of, like, that's fascinating. And of course, Mexican food is another really popular cuisine with Irish people, as you know, as well. Yeah. But Sam, it's been great to chat to you. I mean, it's so lovely. You're bouncing with energy and creativity. And I mean, this whole city actually has been similar for me. It's been a kind of a bit of a revelation and a real fun place to come and see. So thanks a million. And can we go now and try maybe another one of those, but we'll progress onto something else, will we?
Absolutely. Can I give a shout out to Shane's Hoth Adventures just outside of Dublin?
Yes, go on.
And, so next time you guys are in looking for something fun to do in the Dublin area, take the dart out to Hoth and look up Shane's Hoth Adventures. and you will not be sorry. Be prepared for a wonderful, wonderful time.
Yeah, well, I'll check. I'll get Shane to take me on one of his adventures, right? I'd love to do a review on that.
Make sure you give the old boy a high five.
I'm not sure if it'll be as good as Cleveland now, Sam. I'll give it a try anyway.
They can hope, right?
Yeah. Listen, thanks a million. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Let's have another one or two of these fabulous beers. Thanks a million, Sam. All the best.
Sláinte.
My next guest, Tony Sias, is the president and CEO of Karamu House. Karamu House opened its doors in 1915 and is the oldest African-American theatre in the United States. Martin Luther King actually visited Karamu House in 1963. I'm delighted to be in Karamu House today, the theatre, joined by Tony Sias. And Tony, you're the president and CEO of Karamu House. And this is an amazing space. I love it.
Well, first of all, I'm so excited that you took some time to join us here. Yes, Karamu House is the oldest Black producing theater in the country, celebrating 108 years.
Wow. And I mean, the space here, you're doing so much work here. There's a lot of projects going on. But for people that want to come and experience theater here, this is a really interesting place to come, isn't it?
It's an incredible place to come because, you know, our mission here is to produce professional theater, provide arts education, and present community programs for all people while honoring the Black experience. Karamu is about inclusion and everyone is welcome. And we tell our stories in ways that are so inclusive and diverse. It represents the totality of the Cleveland culture and community.
And Karamu House, I suppose, would have been born out of the turbulent history here as well in terms of America and segregation. Can you tell people, like, who set this up, Tony? How did it originate?
Well, Karamu House was founded by a Jewish couple, Russell and Rowena Jelliff, and they were social workers. They went to a college called Oberlin in Oberlin, Ohio, which is about 1 hour outside of Cleveland. And they really went and studied the settlement house movement in Chicago. And of course, settlement houses were early forms of social service agencies. The Jelliffs were focused on working and serving Eastern European immigrants who were coming from rural areas to then help them become acclimated and socialized in this urban industrial area. We were founded in 1915. And from 1915 to 1917, it was serving Europeans. And then in 1917, and with the great migration from the South, African Americans, Black folks migrating from the South to the North for better opportunities, moved into the same neighborhood that Eastern Europeans were living in. And two little Black boys were on the front porch of Karamu House, because at that time it literally was a house. Ask Mrs. Jelliff, could they come in? And that was the beginning of the integration of Karamu House. So many people think that, you know, the Jelliffs, this white couple, founded this Black theater cultural arts center. No, they were serving their people. But as the neighborhood changed, they then chose to serve the people. And that just speaks of incredible social consciousness at a time when many Americans did not have that same opinion that integration and working together was important.
That's a fascinating story. The events you were talking about, what's on here, you have theater, drama, comedy. You have a real mix. Now, what's on here at the moment?
Well, so our current production, it's called Clydes by a Pulitzer Prize winning author, Lynn Nottage. And the action of the play takes place in a truck diner. And all of the folks who work in the diner were previously incarcerated and work or in recovery or both. And Clyde is she's a Mel of a Hess. She is a whippersnapper. And she kind of uses the individual's past against them. The beauty of this story is each character is trying to master making the perfect gourmet sandwich. And we get their life story. We get their experiences through the mastering of the sandwich. And it's a story of resilience for each character, coming to understand who they are and standing in one's truth.
And I'm delighted to say that I'm going to be going to a performance of this while I'm here, which is very exciting. For people, when they want to check what's happening here, Tony, what's the best kind of website to go to look at, you know, the schedule?
It is karamuhouse.org, KARAMUHOUSE.ORG. And Ed, I'd like to just let everyone know that the word Karamu is a key Swahili word that means a place of joyful gathering.
Well, I can tell you, Tony, I have been very joyful here today. And thank you so much, Tony Sias, President and CEO of Karamu House. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
This Sunday show with EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum, an interactive journey that shows how a small island made a big impact on the world. EPICCHQ.com. Sunshine 106.8.
106.8.
And you're very welcome back. And now we're joined by Scott Vollmer, who's the Vice President of Education and Exhibits at the Great Lakes Science Centre here in Cleveland. Scott, great to be here. Brilliant location.
Welcome. I mean, it's a cool spot. We got a nice view of all of Lake Erie and all of downtown Cleveland, and exciting to talk about what we're doing here in Cleveland.
Yeah, and I had a fabulous day yesterday just beside here, of course, the famous Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Could have stayed there for days.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Great feel-good factor.
You got it.
But you've got some amazing things on offer here. Now, I'm a mad science fan. I love all things sci-fi space. We were chatting to Chris there earlier, of course, about the technicality in terms of eclipse. Brilliant. You have this eclipse coming. Cleveland, you're in the path of totality next April. Very exciting.
It is very exciting. You know, I always talk about this as I've never planned anything this far out, especially something that you know is going to happen. So on April 8th, no matter what we do, we are going to be in the path of totality for a phenomenal total solar eclipse. And we've been planning this as a city for about a year now. And that's all we hear are stories about how people descend on cities when you're in the path of totality. So that takes a lot of preparation. And here at the Great Lakes Science Center, we take pride in offering things to do for families. So STEM activities for families. It's perfect. Our location right on Lake Erie, overlooking downtown Cleveland. I mean, it's a prime spot to come and view this. We have a lot of square footage outside, a lot of public space. And so we stepped up and we said, you know, we're going to be the spot in Northeast Ohio to come watch the eclipse. And as a science center, our focus of that is to watch it safely.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. But it's fascinating. I mean, here, I mean, you have this amazing interactive sort of live demonstrations here. I was looking, you've over 400 hands-on exhibits. I haven't
we
done
do.
Them all yet.
Oh,
right?
Yes. So yeah, I mean, we're always hopping. We are the home of the NASA Glenn Visitor Center. So there's a NASA Research Center right down the road over by the airport. And we are the public side of that. We get families come in here, see an actual Apollo mission capsule. And I mean, you can't see that anywhere. And
yeah.
So every day we have our staff that interacts with guests that teaches them science experiments, teaches them science concepts. Everything here you can touch, you can frankly try to break. And it's a ton of fun for families, for kids. School buses show up every single day for field trips. I mean, it's always buzzing. So being that place and having, you know, this natural phenomena coming is just perfectly special for us.
Yeah, and I mean, and you also have a sort of dome theater, which is a 6-story high screen. I was wondering what that was yesterday when I was walking next door.
It's way different from the outside than it is on the inside. From the outside, it just looks like a massive dome. On the inside, it's a very immersive theater. Your seats are kind of tilted back. You're looking up at a full, I don't think it's 360 degrees, but it feels like a full 360 degree view of a film. And it's very captivating to be in that space.
I'm a great fan of maritime history. I've done a lot of, you know, programs around Titanic and, you know, HMS Caroline,
right.
The Dreadnought battleship that survived the Jutland. Here, you have a very interesting William Mather steamship.
Yeah, we have the William Mather steamship, which is about to celebrate its 100th birthday. It is a Great Lakes steamship, and we have it. We own it. It's on our property. It's sitting on the shores of Lake Erie, right on the harbor behind us. And we do tours in there. We have exhibits inside there for 3/4 of the year. When it's nice outside, people come down and hang out on the Mather. It's captivating to see from a distance, and once you get on it, I mean, it is a piece of maritime history. There's people come far and wide to get
on
the
Mather. Looking forward to having a look at it later myself, actually. And I'm hoping to be here in April. I'm just
good.
Planning at the moment.
Good.
So hopefully, if I can pack a tent somewhere in for
good luck getting a room. It's I've never planned this far out, but everybody else is planning this far out. I mean, hotels are booked to the gills in downtown Cleveland. I know that there are some spots open to the east of us and to the west of us, but everybody is coming to Cleveland.
I've been here just a few days, my first time, and I'm very impressed. For me, I mean, I like big cities, but you know, sometimes they're hectic. Here you have an amazing, it's such a relaxed, pleasant, friendly city, I would say.
And it's a little big city.
Yeah.
It's definitely easy to navigate. There's, and again, we're right on the harbor, so you always know where you are directionally. There's some cities that sprawl. We have Lake Erie. You know you're north. You know you're right at the edge of the city. But yeah, I mean, walking through downtown's easy. There's always something going on, but it doesn't feel overwhelming.
Yeah, and I like the family. I mean, that's great that you do all this stuff for families here. For Irish travelers now that will be coming over, I mean, how long would you say you want to spend, Scott, when you come here? I mean, when you come to the Science Center, what would you kind of recommend to people?
I think you should spend a day at the Science Center for sure. If you're talking coming to Northeast Ohio for the weekend of the eclipse, we have a festival going on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So April 6th, 7th, and 8th, we will be taking over this whole harbor area. So it's how many acres? I mean, it's a ton of space. It's not just at the Science Center. We have the Rock Hall next to us. We'll be on in their backyard.
The whole city will just be one big viewing platform.
That's exactly right. And we'll be activating all that. So we're going to have dozens of community partners and organizations coming through for the whole weekend, not just during the Monday of the eclipse. So that Saturday and Sunday ahead of it, families can come down here and talk with several organizations that are doing STEM activities. And the biggest highlight, frankly, what kicked off, you know, we're really going big with this Total Eclipse Fest, was the Cleveland Orchestra. So this is a world-renowned orchestra. They are performing on Sunday at 1:30 p.m., the day before the eclipse. They're performing on the harbor. I mean, it's, what, 100 players, 100 performers on a massive stage. And no one brings families out in Cleveland as much as the Cleveland Orchestra does. Having that as the starting point for planning this whole entire weekend was critical. Obviously, the eclipse is happening, whether we want to or not. Having the Cleveland Orchestra here, it moves people. We know people will show up. It's beautiful. And now we're filling in all the spots between those two massive events.
Brilliant. For people that want to get lots of information about here, what's the best website to go to, Scott?
GreatScience.com is our website. Everything about the Total Eclipse Fest, everything about bringing your family down to Great Lakes Science Center, enjoying the day here, checking out the William G. Mather steamship, just go to GreatScience.com and it's all there.
Brilliant. Well, listen, it's been great to talk
to you.
Thank you. Okay, Scott Vollmer, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, folks, that wraps up a very special program this evening from Cleveland, Ohio. I would just like to extend my thanks to all the wonderful guests who came on the show this evening, and a very special thanks to Emily Lauer and the team from This Is Cleveland for all their wonderful hospitality. There's a big sign at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that says, Cleveland rocks, and it certainly does.